If you are blessed this morning, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
If you are blessed this morning, can I hear another amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody say after me, God is good.
God is good.
Say it again.
God is good.
All right, the Lord is good.
Awesome.
Now let's read from verse 6, like blessed people that we are. Want to let's go? There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether stupid and foolish. Their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Ophir, the work of a craftsman and of the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is a true God, is a living God, and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there's a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like this, for the maker of all is he, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our Father, we give you praise. We worship you this morning. This is who you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you because even though you are so great, you have chosen to call us your own. So we are connected to the highest. Thank you, Father, for that. We give you all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This morning, Lord, as we gather again, is for no other reason than to hear your word and receive of your spirit. Lord, fill us afresh this morning in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As these words come forth, the sick will be healed.
Amen.
Minds become clear.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Now, because we believe all of these things, we declare as follows. Want to let's go?
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's sit down. Let's just swat the door. Quickly coming. Philippians chapter 3. Again, I'm going to read the first 15 verses. I will read the New Living Translation. Again, to save some time, I will jump here and there. I'll let you know when I'm doing that. Say, whatever happens, my brothers and sisters, that this, finally, my brethren. I like that first line in a conservative translation. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Somebody say that after me. Rejoice in the Lord.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Now, that's an instruction. All right? That's not a word of advice. What is it?
An instruction.
Yes. God has commanded us to rejoice no matter what happens. He said, I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. He said, indeed, if others have reason to for confidence in their own efforts, I even more. They explain those reasons from verse 5 and verse 6. He said, verse 7, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ. Now, please, notice verse 10. He said, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. In verse 12, he says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. He said, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. He now said in verse 15, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe that God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Please let me read verse 15 and verse 16 again. This time in another translation. It said, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, that spiritually mature, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God revealed that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. All right, the Lord is good. Okay, so what are we talking about today? Some things we have been talking about for the last two meetings. I want to develop it further today. And I don't know whether I have a specific caption for what we are teaching today or I should just continue teaching. We have been talking about the issue of endurance. And fact is that one of the things you need in Christianity is endurance. The ability to endure. Life is a constant war and it's a kind of war of attrition. That is, we are looking for who will wear out first. Do you understand? Now, let me explain the meaning of the word patience. Patience is when you believe something. Now, listen to this carefully. If you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 6, the Bible says, quickly open there. Let's open it. I think some of you may just quoting it. We're talking about those who have faith. How we receive our inheritance. Hebrews chapter 6. Let me just, for time's sake, read just two verses. He said, from verse 11, he said, our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. I just read that in New Living Translation. If you use something like New American, you say, who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, endurance, as you can see, is another way of expressing patience. Now, please let me explain what we mean by endurance, what we mean by patience. Now, faith. I don't know how many people study physics. If you know physics and mathematics well, No, let's use, not use that expression, because people run away from these things in school, and I want to bring it here. Okay. No, it won't be good. All right, the point about faith is that, about endurance, is that faith, sorry, endurance or patience is faith that is held over time. Did you hear what I said? What is patience? Faith that is held over time. That's it. At a moment, at a point in time, you can check if you can ask yourself whether I have faith or somebody has faith. But then to constantly have faith is what is called patience. What is patience? For, and listen to this, very important you understand. Every time in this world you are, somebody is coming against what you believe. Now, you will not always see the person physically. Or of course, we are talking about, the Bible says we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. But we are wrestling against unseen beings. Is that okay? And these things manifest, of course, cooperating with the world, they are always trying to wear out your faith. See, the battle in this life really is to keep your faith standing. You hear what I said? No, Christians sometimes, you know, we make the mistake of thinking that we have too many things that God has asked us to do. We don't have. One major thing, see, faith is very creative. I talk about that once in a while. True faith is very creative. True faith is creative. It's not a normal thing for somebody to get up and walk across water. It's not normal. Okay? Now, I need to say this. Christianity brings the spiritual into the physical, you know, manifestedly. Again and again, let me just put it like that. The Bible says the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That thing is not just about Jesus Christ becoming a human being, but they say it's an eternal principle. When God speaks, eventually the thing becomes real, that even those who do not believe will be able to perceive it. What I mean is this. You don't have to know who Jesus is to have noticed that he walked down your street and that you saw him heal the sick. That's the word becoming flesh. One of the assignments we have as believers is to make the word become flesh around us so that even those who don't believe will eventually see it. By our own faith, we make the word become flesh. What does faith do? Faith takes that which is invisible and makes it into a visible thing. Now, it doesn't do it instantly. It doesn't do it in a day, oftentimes. The reason being that, first, the capacity for faith has to be built. That's number one. Then secondly, a lot of times there are hindrances which have to be overcome before the faith can manifest. God gives a word. You know, the other day I was looking at it, just thinking about it that, wow, we often are in a hurry. No, we don't allow God to do his thing. If you read through the scriptures, you will know that what God does, all right, takes time a lot of times. We promise something. Many times you see thousands of years it happen before it comes to pass. And it comes to pass in what the Bible calls the fullness of time. The fullness of time. That is, what do we mean by fullness of time? That is, all the events have been put in place, making it possible or appropriate, both possible and appropriate for that word to manifest. The primary duty we have in that area is to keep our faith up. And what patience does is to lead us to cooperate with the faith so that the appropriate circumstances can be created. I hope you're getting my point. Okay? I hope it's not sounding too technical. Okay? Now, there's something I said before. I use that word once in a while. It's not a very prominent word all over the scriptures, but I like the way it comes. I use the word angel of the covenant. Let me use another expression now. You hear David said, who is it that fears the Lord? What does it do for the person? He will teach him in the way that he should choose. This is my conviction, no doubt about it. If I'm sick and I'm believing God for health, now God does a number of things. Now, because of my natural training, I can give you different classes of diseases. Is that okay? Let's just talk about two or three of things that cause diseases. One of them is trauma. You're injuring yourself, and it happens to us a lot of times. You injure yourself, and you keep injuring yourself, and you don't know. All right? That's physical injury. Physical, all right? You touch things. You touch, if something's hot, or you bang your hand and all of that. Another thing that could happen, it could be maybe an infection. All right? That's an example. Another example, malaria is one of those things, you understand? You have a boil. Another one is, now listen to this one, it's very important. A lot of foods we eat, don't agree with everybody. A lot of people are sick, and it's what they are eating. And the doctor doesn't know, because everybody eats the same thing. And it's an unusual case. So, do you know, you eat something and you keep on having a headache. And why would anybody think it's the food you ate? Do you get what I'm saying? Now, so, whatever be the cause, somebody prays for healing. God can heal different ways. All right? There are times the thing just goes away. But there are times, one of the things that I've personally experienced that again and again. One of the things the Lord does is that He'll just point to you what you're eating that is wrong. No doctor could have told you. It's not in the books. That's one of the manifestations of the person who fears the Lord. The Lord teaching him in the way that he should choose. Again, small aside. One of the problems we have had in Christianity, such a person will now mount the pulpit and start teaching on diet. There's a particular diet that is very popular. I keep fighting over it with people, all right? Actually, one person, actually. And when I heard how it started, I didn't read about it, but it's the report that was given to me, that this man was sick. I think he had cancer or something. And he was going to die, and he prayed. And then, I don't know whether the Lord man, anyway, his food was modified, and he got healed. And he got, now he started a whole ministry on teaching how to eat. And I said, see, this is the problem. God, see now. He has now given this glory to food. To a diet. If you've listened to me long enough, or we have a personal relationship, you hear me say this all the time. Of course, you have my number. I don't post things like that. You see it on my status update. Operate moderation. All right? Be thankful. That's number one. Be thankful when it comes to food. Be moderate. And be happy to share. And I discussed that. All right? That beyond that, I have not seen one diet method that works for everybody. An Englishman said it long ago. One man's meat, some other man's poison. When I first heard that thing, I said, why must it be meat? I didn't realize that old English for food was meat. You could use meat, all right? And eat meat. That what somebody enjoys, another person does not enjoy. One of the things I've learned in this life, growing up, is that people actually perceive things really, really differently. A lot of fights and arguments are based on differences in subjective assessment. Somebody looks at something. In fact, yesterday, two of my kids, the only girl in the house, and one of the brothers, they were arguing about color. One said purple, the other one said it is red. They now came to me to come and settle it. I turned to the guy. I said, never argue color with a woman. I told him, I said, don't. I said, I will not tell you what I think. Actually, I was seeing the color the same way it was seeing it. It looked purple to me also. But God forbid I should open my mouth in the presence of a woman and argue on color. So I said, let's settle it like this. Go and meet your mommy. Whatever she says is fine now. Hey. They got there. She brought another color into the issue. A totally different. One said it was purple. The other one said it was red. She said, this is dull pink. They came by. What did mommy say, dull pink? I said, dull pink it is. Leave this matter. I said, dull pink it is. I mean, leave this matter. I'm not going to be. The truth, you know, it took me, if I was Brain Games, watching on National Geographic, that I learned it. People actually see colors different. And the fact is that women see. So guys, don't bother. You see, there's no need. You're convinced, you will swear by Almighty God that this color is what you say it is. That's not what the woman is saying. She's not being difficult. She's not being emotional. She's seen something different. It's been shown that they actually literally see color differently. The day I watched that program on TV, I was with the whole family. My wife was there. So the guy said, we should look. How many shades of red do we see? Of course, he's talking on television. He can't hear us. There were 5 squares. He said, if you see 3, you are likely a man. And if you're a woman, you will see 5 shades. Because when she said 3, my wife looked at, there are 5 shades. And the guy said, if you're a woman, you will see 5. I said, that they actually see different depths of colors. Do you get my point? So it's a matter of fact. And it's not just in colors. There's something my wife and I, my wife used to do something, I would like, swear, why are you doing this thing like this? She said, it's okay. I said, it cannot be okay. The day I stopped arguing was, my wife is left-handed, you know. I have a colleague who's also left-handed. He said, no, it's a problem of it's a feature of left-handed people. I said, what? He said, no, that's how he also feels. It has to do with driving. My wife had the way of reversing, which I thought was, funny manner. There's an easier way to do this than you go back to your front. That my friend said he can drive 10 kilometers with his back. I said, okay. Of course, you know. For those who don't know, writing using your left or your right has nothing to do with manners.
Yes, sir.
It's inborn. Before you're born, it has been chosen for you by the arrangement of your brain whether you will be more confident with the left or with the right. And we know, if you force somebody who's supposed to use the right to use the left, they become slower in learning. I'm trying to say, people are so different. But you know what? God knows everybody. He does. And as a father, all right, part of the covenant is that if you love me, I will teach you what is right to choose. Even when it comes to your diet. So that's why I took exception with the man who just, God healed you one particular way. They not teach you to a teaching. You turn into a teaching on how to blend fruits in the morning and not eat anything cooked before 12 o'clock. See, one of the ways that you know those things are not even sensible, you just go to the Bible. God who made us. Like somebody tell you that red meat is bad for you. I say, why did God give them lamb to eat? Why did he choose? If you go to the scriptures, you see all the kind of things that he gave us. This cattle we eat, he picked it specifically. He told his priests, after they offer the heifer, you will do this, then the meat is yours to eat. Burn the fat, do all of that. Then you now tell me not to eat what God said his priests should eat. I don't care the degrees you have. You have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and I won't follow you. He said, milk is bad for some people. Maybe. But the land, God said, is flowing with what? I will eat milk. I will eat honey. Do you understand my point? Have you seen some people get up one, they said, I don't drink too much water. The day I saw that one, I just said, please, a man's confidence does not translate to being correct. Do you hear what I said? The most ignorant people, the more ignorant people are, the more they speak with confidence. In fact, it's called the law of stupidity. Ignorant people are usually too confident. Even in my profession, that is my sub-specialty, in training, they told us, what I'm saying so is that, please, don't let anybody do a YouTube video for you. Speak confidently and scatter your destiny. I heard this young man, I think two of them, one was speaking, explain why drinking water is bad. I'm like, is this possible? YouTube didn't take this down. That is the same way they advocate all kinds of health measures. I told you one last time, every time, you know, if I go to YouTube, do you know your fasting time? I just screw it away. Don't talk to me. I didn't listen one day. I said, they've started again. But the first time I listened to that thing was when BBC published a report and showed that the heart and vessel disease is 25% worse in those who practice it. after they've checked all the studies done on that thing. It's trending. Intermittent fasting. Scientific evidence today is that it creates heart cardiovascular disease. All I could do was laugh. I said, those who follow me, they are very safe. Do you hear what I said? There are those who want to teach Christians to fast. Even when you say it has health benefits, it's a lie. If you want to fast, learn how Christians are supposed to fast and don't use fasting to lose weight. You're telling me, go? I've seen before, you see, why a Christian should fast? It even has health benefits. I say, don't come. You see, just a small aside. Make up your mind which one you want to do. If you want to talk spiritual. Fast, God will speak to you. It's okay. Don't tell me it has health benefits. Because it doesn't have. Now, why I'm saying all of this is, all right, please, let me state my message. The Bible says, God said, I am the Lord that healed thee. Are you getting my point? In that, his eternal wisdom. Listen, your God is very personal. What I mean is that he knows you personally. He's not just a father in the clouds you don't know. No. He knows you. He thinks about you. He will say that, if I give Steve this, it will not be good for him. Send that one to Joseph. That will bless him. He knows them that personally. There's no principle that everybody... See, there's general obedience. Do you follow my point? But when it comes to how your life will move forward, what is good for one will not work for another. And God knows. So he's very personal in telling you. So if somebody tells you, I don't eat this. Englishman said, somebody else may eat it and be blessed. But what I'm emphasizing is the fact that, remember I was talking about health. You pray for health. And God looks and says, it is this thing you are eating that's not good for you. He will reveal it to you in such a way that doctors will never have guessed in 100 years. He will instruct you in the way that you should choose. There are people who go and teach. You have seen it before. Now, let me just say clearly. I've thought about it again. I don't think I'm wrong. You can't teach. I've seen School of Prophets teaching people how to interpret dreams. Some of you look like you've gone there. You want to soon open your shop. You want to help us interpret our dreams. Let me tell you, first of all, let's get it clear. Most dreams don't have meaning. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Most dreams have no meaning. I've been dreaming funny dreams in recent times. Do you know why, Joseph? Because I have a habit of leaving a message plain when I go to sleep. I don't tend to sleep, I sleep off. Sometimes I download some videos on YouTube I want to watch. So I'm watching. Then I sleep off. And once my videos are downloaded, YouTube has a funny habit of playing one after the other. If I'm streaming it live, it will stop after I've played one. But when it's downloaded, it will play. So there are times I start watching a video of maybe what led to the stock market crash in America of 19, the Great Depression. I fall asleep. It keeps playing. Then it will now start talking about the biology of snakes. Maybe I'll lay down that one to talk about why vipers behave the way they do and anacondas are different. I'll start dreaming of snakes. When it gets to that point, the device is beside me. I was watching it when I slept off. So after a while, in one night, I'll have dreamt of anaconda, dreamt of money, dreamt of electric cars driving through my sitting room. Vroom, vroom, vroom. If I didn't know all of this, what would I do? I would rush to go and meet prophet. I've been dreaming, no. And there's some prophets who have gone to school of prophets. You dreamt of electric car. They would think, electric, car. Car, mobility, electric, shock. Motor will shock you. That's what, why I said that is that, please, don't deceive yourself. There's no method for interpreting dreams. You're either gifted with the grace or you are not. Most dreams that will come to an average Christian, all right, if they are revelatory, Because I classify dreams like that. Okay? If there are dreams by which, what the Bible calls visions of the night, most of them you will know by yourself. If not, you may hear preaching one day that will interpret it for you. Or God may send a word of knowledge in your direction to tell you dreamt of this and they will interpret it for you. It's not something to beat your head over. It's not something to be going from one prophet's house to the other. If after 2 days you can't find, you better forget it. Don't forget, dreams also come from your fears. That is, you are not listening to anything. You've been worried. The worry will just act drama for you. Worry can act drama. Your desires also can act drama. You dream that you are driving the newest Mercedes Benz, and you are going all over Nigeria, and police could not stop you. It's not a revelation. It's desire. The Bible tells us that people who are hungry, they often dream of food. Then they wake up, lo, the prophet said, they are still hungry. That's the intense desire of their heart. What I'm saying, so that please, nobody can come and give us a formula on how dreams are supposed to be interpreted. Nobody trained Joseph. Daniel was in a company trained by the same people, came from the same background. Only him could interpret dreams. You didn't hear that Shadrach interpreted anything. Meshach and Abednego, nobody called their name when they came to interpret the dream. Even the one that they gathered, they all knew how to pray. You know that. They all knew how to pray. But the revelation came to Daniel. After all of them gathered to pray. I'm talking about how personal God is. He's very personal. Please, understand me. I'm not preaching to unbelievers. I've told you, I've made up my mind, more than before, more than ever before, that I will preach just the word of Christ to people who come to listen to me. Because I found out, listen to this again, let me say it. Christians learn what is right to do. I'm talking about business as an example. We all learn what is right to do. When I say right, simple right, be punctual. Like my friend who we were talking the other day, he is listening to the US. So one of the things about the US is that, talking about jobs, said they want to know that if you say you will show up, you will show up. They don't like listening to excuses. Because he came to Nigeria, so I was talking about it, he said, no, he has to go back on a certain day. That's part of the culture. If they put you, he's a doctor, if you're on duty on so and so date, they don't want to think about whether the patients will meet you when you are there. So the words I say, if you say you will show up, they want to rest knowing that you will show up. And if the word goes out that you don't show up, you will never get a job. Now, so that's what I'm talking about, things that are right to do. They are right. Being accountable is right. It's in the scriptures. Know the condition of your flock. You're running the business, you must know what money comes in and what money goes out. If you're a business person, personal person also, but let's just talk about business. You must be able to account for every kobo. Yeah. You must be able to. A lot of people are losing money in business, not because the business is bad, but because they don't even know where the money is going. They're investing money and they don't know what is eating. Do you know what? Remember the... just a small joke that happened. One day, one guy I knew decided to start, do you remember when GSM calls first started in Nigeria? You remember those days? What was the call if you use your own phone per minute? Huh? 50 naira. It was about 50 naira per minute. But if you wanted to make a long call, what did you do? Do you remember? You went to a public place, those were by the way, and they charged as low as 25 naira. You have a phone, no? But long calls, you don't use your phone. So my guy said he wanted to do business. He went and bought a phone, but loaded with credit, get someone to be run the business for him. MTN was charging 15 naira a minute. He was charging clients 25 naira a minute. He didn't understand. He was laughing when he was telling me. He was telling me, you for still with the thing where you know. So he was like, where's my money? And this...
All knew that people were doing it. They were making money. He must be making money. Except that his money wasn't making. It was going down. If you remember, they had what they call booster cards. Booster cards will massively slash your unit cost so that you can now, this guy used to make a small margin on it, but if you made enough cost every month, they had a tidy, profit. But he did not know about booster cards. A lot of people are doing business like that. That's why they say, know the condition of your flock. Know exactly what is going on. Now, those are the real things, the things that Christians must learn. There's general principles, what your business environment looks like. Now, beyond that, I don't want to sit on that. I'm not teaching about business. But beyond those general sound principles of life applied to business, which one you will do and you will not do to prosper? Brethren, there's no law. There's none. See, you know now. You that listen to me, you know. You have gone to they say how to trade stock on the internet. You've gone to trade stock on the internet. You are poorer than when you started. You may not be here, but you know what I'm saying is true. They tell you that the way to not do it now is cryptocurrency. You trade Bitcoin. You know now you are poorer than when you started. Let's not lie. You know. What is the next thing now? You keep on going up and down, bro. There are those who traded that stock. Eh? They become billionaires. Yeah. They become billionaires. And they try to teach you the method. There's one man I read about, Korean American. Good Christian guy. Used to give a lot to church and all of that. He threw away like $20 billion in 1 week. Yeah, about $20 billion in 1 week. That was the business he did, stock trading. I don't know him personally, but I strongly suspect, this Pentecostal can be very dangerous. I suspect that he felt that once he laid his hands on the stock and gave regularly to church, God would defend it. He used massive leverage, believed in this, and at the end of the day, was a good Christian. He was renowned for being very having sound testimony and giving. Any church he attended, you know what I mean? I think I could tie $20 million at a go. And God was looking at him like this. Then 1 week, he went bankrupt from being worth like $20 billion to owing everybody money. I'm not aware he ever recovered. There's another man I learned about there. Was about the fourth richest man in Europe. He thought he knew how to do it. He went to that same stock market. Decided to short VW stock. And the thing should have gone down. What they call short, I don't have time to explain it. But it depends on the value going down for him to make money. And he was going to make money massively. There's only one thing he did not know. The stock he was shorting, what they call short, I want time to explain. Somebody else was eyeing it. So the value did not, because when somebody is buying, the value won't go down. He did not know. Like I said to you before, life has what? Traps. He fell into one of the traps of life. Before that, he was still worth something like between a quarter to a half a billion dollars. So he wasn't poor. He wasn't an average poor man on the road. But by the end of that, he was so broke, he went to commit suicide. He left a note for his family, apologized to them, waited. There's a train track that passed through his town. He just waited. When the train came, he jumped in front of it. The train mangled him. You know the funny thing? He thought he knew how to do it. Where I'm going is this. Talking about the angel of the covenant, you understand? If God wants to prosper you, he will specifically let you know. He will lead you to the one that will help you. And he won't help anybody else. That's what he does. He will specifically lead you to the one that will be good for you, which may not be good for other people. They'll not be doing YouTube videos on how they made it. And people want to copy. And I keep telling people, see,
Just learn what? Righteousness. You know, you hear me say it all the time. Learn what? Righteousness. You just learn righteousness. Learn righteousness. What is righteousness? What is right to do? Not what works. There's an epidemic, a spiritual epidemic in Christianity of today on what it works. Change your own, it is righteous. Do you follow my point? What we mean by the word walking is that whatever God says you to do, it will do. Do you get? It is not as if there's a method to produce something that we want. You learn what is right to do. Like I keep saying, you're a young person, what is right for you to learn is diligence, faithfulness, being resourceful, being dependable. Somebody, Bible says, being faithful in that which belongs to another person. You run somebody else's company and people think it's your own. You're at home. You're a married man. So they jump up at night. Hey, what's the problem? So I just remember something. If we did like, office matter. Sorry. You would do it if it was your own business. Every day you're like, this is how we can move this business forward, this company. Until people think it's your own. And listen to it. You're not doing so that one day. I've seen people do it before. Maybe, I remember my wife explained, it happened to her long ago. They explained how somebody was very faithful and then people now started faithfulness, waiting for what? The reward. But the story she used to teach those people those days was a story about a friend of mine. Good friend. He was so good in his company where he worked. All right? So one day he came and he resigned. His bosses in Nigeria, it was an international company. His bosses in Nigeria, you know, there's always this small acrimony, jealousy, issues like that here and there. So when he resigned, I was quite a high-ranking fellow. Working in a pharmaceutical company, actually. When he resigned, the bosses accepted his resignation. So he gave him 30 days notice. But the overall African boss came from South Africa to Nigeria at that time and found out that he resigned. The man like, why? He told them something they didn't think about. He said, do you think he's going home to sit down? No. He said, he resigns. Where is he going? He will go and look for another job with your competitor. And this was the consistently best sales manager. Consistently. He was always winning. Let's not go home to sit down. He's going to look for another work with one of your major competitors. And with this track record, they will still employ him. So he sent for the guy, come. I can't remember the details, but the guy, he said, all right, what will it take for you to stay? The man said, he's tired of staying in the north. He wants to come back to the south. The man said, done. I post you back to Lagos. No problem. Any other thing? Well, he has to be, they said that it was by this discussion, he should be due for promotion. The man said, no. He said, but the place you are coming to in Lagos, that post, that level is not vacant. So we have to keep you on your particular rank now. You come back to Lagos, this will be your rank. But you know what I'm going to do? I will calculate all the emoluments of that fellow. The difference between that rank and this lower one you are on, I will pay you upfront. Nobody in the company will know what you are earning. Do you get the gist? So he came to my house and gave me the gist that day. I was still in Lagos. He said, so bank, I'm back in Lagos. He said, wow. Fantastic testimony. But just by the way, since I talked about it, let me just talk about this. Farm reps those days, I think it's still like that till now. One of the things they do, they always had cars because they had to move around to do their business. But those days, when he come to see me, if we are going somewhere together, he's always happy if I would go with him because he said, that's when he will have time to rest. From driving, he'll give me the car, I will drive. We'll drive all over Lagos, you know. Now, but one day he told me the story that one of the things the farm reps used to do, people are checking for their own gain. So, let's take company A gives you a car to market their products. Those guys, if they find that company B has a product that is selling, they market it also. Do you get it? Which is very, very unethical. Of course, if people will keep on doing things like that, if you are doing like that, it's unethical. You can't be using somebody else's resources to promote somebody, the competitor's product. It doesn't make sense. But he, because of his
gospel principles, he never did it. They accused him of it. So one day he was at work. The thing turned to an argument. So he tossed them his car keys. Come, open my boot. Check. They actually went. Ransacked his car. They didn't say anything that was not from their company. In fact, these are among the things that started getting him tired. The jealousy was getting too much. Yes. It took a foreigner, you understand, to come and give him the blessing that God really planned for him. But my bro was very faithful. He was very faithful. I need to add that one to it. He's the one I told you, I must have told you before, when they first moved into the north. So the company will pay for a hotel for 30 days. So normally, what most people will go and look for where to stay, collect the money from the company. And it was a lot of money. I mean, think about today now. Middle-level manager, they are paying you, they're paying a hotel daily. So people will go and look for where to stay. And so he told me. But he, when he got there, when he got to Kano, I said, where do you stay? He told me that he stays in the hotel. Ah, you know me too, I've been struggling, resting in that kind of life. That's a lot of money. He said two things. He said, boy, I need to sleep. That my work is tough. He said, and I can't be forging receipts for anybody. Yeah. Because the company demanded you brought the receipt from the hotel. He said, Banky, I can't forge receipts for anybody. If they are going to give me the money, that's a different story. But they won't. They demand that I show proof. And as a child of God, whatever receipt I give you has to be authentic. So I bet, let them pay the hotel. Let me stay there. So he stayed in a decent hotel for one full month. He didn't hide the money. Say, I can't be forging receipts for anybody. So let's get these things right. Like, that's what I'm talking about, righteousness. These are the things we learn as believers. So I'm not forging receipts for anybody. He was very, very faithful in the work. And that's how God promoted him. What I'm telling you that story is that my wife used to explain to some people. Now, and that's, let me say it again. Learn the righteousness. Don't learn the reward. There are two very rich men that I've met, very well-to-do. They happen to be from the same area. Funny enough, one of them, I'll tell you the name in a moment because it tells the story. The other one told me personally, so I may not tell the story. We are counting money in Naira. Okay, let's say dollars. Those guys can count in scores of millions of dollars. And one of them, we think, can actually count in hundreds of millions of dollars. And that's the one I'll tell you the name. Both of them, they serve their orgas faithfully. All right? They are able men from part of an umbrella. I'll tell you in a moment. You know the way. You serve somebody, they settle you. And they didn't settle both of them. In fact, this is the one I'm talking about. He told the man, sir, it was his uncle. He said, in 5 years, I'll be a millionaire. The other one, the first one, he said he served so well. They were young boys. Sleep in the shop, wake up by 4 in the morning. He said he used to wake up by 4 in the morning. He said when the man settled him, the last week, he took the pickup to go and do something, had an accident. The man deducted the pickup repair money. The second one is Costaris. Cosmos Maduka. He told us the story here when he came a few weeks ago. That he looked at his uncle and like, all these years of work, this is all I get. That's not the normal day. Normal day, you pay for a shop, you stock it and all of that. The man just gave him some money and that was all. And he told the man, in a few years' time, I'm going to be a millionaire. And he was a millionaire. And in those days, millionaire was millionaire because it was 1 naira to the dollar. So if a man was a millionaire in naira, he was a millionaire in US dollars also. So just to let you know that these two people I'm telling you about, served, yet they were not rewarded in that place. So we Christians, we learn what? That service, that faithfulness, that diligence, that responsibility. Let God take care of the reward. My friend I'm telling you about was rewarded in his own company. But it doesn't always work. That's why, you know, when I'm telling these stories, I don't like finishing it there. Because a lot of people, I told you where I went to preach somewhere. I was talking about living generously, you know. I said, look, before you start looking for a car, at least, that's somebody's spare tire now. I just talk, I just talk light, you know, like that, light mood. Just talk, I said, boy, why this guru looking for, you said, that's somebody something now. Homeboy came up to me at the end. He said, what you are saying now is that if I need a car, I should go and buy a tire and give somebody. 3 days of teaching. My heart broke. And that guy sat in a prominent place. I saw him throughout. I said, all these days I've been teaching. This was what you came. I felt like, guys, everybody gather together again. We are starting all over again. So that's why I don't like to end the story there a lot of times, because people learn the wrong thing. What you are supposed to learn is the faithfulness. From God comes your reward of the inheritance. He's the one that will choose how to bless you. Laban had no plans for blessing Jacob. By the time God so blessed Jacob, Laban's children were now, you know, they were, see, no matter how well you do, see, what we are supposed to do is learn what? Right. What is right to do? Let's stop thinking of the reward. God is the one that we reward the way he likes. These two men I told you about, one, of course, you know the other one, Cosmas Madoka, Costaris, told us a story. The other man said when he was leaving, time for settlement, the man deducted the cost of repair. And the same man is the one that said, his whole family. He told me, he said he didn't go to school because his elder brothers refused to pay. Because, you know, his father was getting old. So his brothers now felt that the father shouldn't stay alone in the village. They now went and married a wife for him just to take care of him. They didn't know that. Oh! The man by that time had, I think, 8 children. They were big enough, the older ones were big enough to think of their father's welfare. The man was retired. But before they could blink 3 times, that woman born 5 children. Yes. So, I'm not marrying any wife or any old man in this my life and at all. I mean, it's a dangerous game. So he's the first of that second set of children that his father had. Do you understand? Uh-huh. So his brothers are not exactly happy. So he was like, they saw the small wife as a house girl, actually. That was what's in their mind. They just said, take care of this old man. So when it was time to go to school, they were not, you get my point, they were not interested. So he had to drop out of school, and his mother took him to go and learn a trade. Make a long story short, so he's now the one taking care of the whole family. Oh, yes. All 13 of them. He's richer than everybody else put together. Small aside, not part of our message. All right, let's just get the point. So what we're supposed to learn is what? Righteousness. What is right to do? That's what we're supposed to learn. Not how do I get results. Back to, I know where I began from. So when it comes to business like that, let nobody go around teaching you how to do PL. Do you mind how many cyber cafes opened? And they all closed? Do you know how many, what we call pure water, sachet water companies opened in Enugu? Do you know how many? Every household had one. Now, do we have up to 10 surviving? Everybody closed. Whether you like it or not, business no be small thing. There's no easy business. I can tell you. Once they tell you this business is easy, you make money. Just know they are lying. Especially when they are training you how to do it. That's where the money is. They're training you how to do it. No, that's where the money is. Training you how to do it. When God wants to bless you, he will just wake up, he will decide, see, the same thing everybody has been doing, he will use it to bless you. And they've all failed. But your own case, it will just work. Or you come up with an idea which everybody will say is stupid. And it will work. I don't know how many of you use Ring. Of course, is this not it? It just happened to be a story. It's not a unique story. But it happened to be a story I just know a bit about.
I watched it on Shark Tank when the man came to pitch and none of the sharks invested. A few seasons later, he came back to Shark Tank as a shark. When Amazon had bought down his company for $1 billion. A few seasons later. And the idea just came to him. He was in the back of his house when somebody was knocking. And maybe he didn't hear the bell or something. Was he ringing the bell? He said, why can't my bell ring on my mobile phone? That's all. Now that his bell is even involved in crime fighting now. Yes, because many houses have it. So when a crime happens somewhere, police goes from house to house. Please, is your ring pick anybody walking the street? And like I said, it's not a unique story. It's a story that happens again and again in different areas. Christians should remember that your life is not a game of chance. It's not, gone are the days when I say, hey, if I had known that time, you could not have known that time because that's not God's pathway for you. If you had known that time and gone that way, it would have failed. You hear people say that car, land here now is going for 50 million for just 1,000 square meters. Do you know they offered me this land, 200,000 naira, just about 15 years ago? I didn't buy. If I knew, I would have bought. If you had bought, they would have snatched it from you. If you had bought, they would have injured you fighting over it. If you had bought, the trouble you would have been in by now, you'd be in Supreme Court. Leave that thing. Did you buy? You didn't buy. Leave it and walk away, my friend. And there's land still being sold by for 200,000 today, which is also be 50 million in the next this day. Well, of course, so go and buy the whole of Enugu, hoping that one day it will appreciate in price. Then you go broke. You'll be owing everybody. Then you now die of debt and stress and everything. And they'll now put it on your toes. This was a man who wanted to hammer. there are regrets I don't have anymore. I don't. If I had known that time, did you know? No. So leave it. And there are many things you still don't know now. So just live this life. Just leave it. Leave it. Let God take care of you. So one video, the man said, look, you enter a bus. Do you know the driver? No, but you relax. I mean, you bought the plane, you are flying. Do you know the pilot? No, but you are relaxed. Yet, you can't even relax for God in your life. The God that you know. 8 hours on the road to Lagos. You go to one of these bus companies. You don't know who's driving. Some of those boys, say you saw the other day, when the report they released about the plane, that two pilots, they don't shy you. And one of the crew members smoked Igbo before when I read those things, I just say, those who know they pray, now them are they pity. Can you imagine? Pilots won't come fly, you and the guy just say, well, now you get one boat today. And this guy is carrying you 30,000 feet. I know a small boy, 60-year-old man. Said the smaller, he said, okay, we're approaching a bit too high. He said, it doesn't matter. It's alcohol can make you, you become bold. You don't just be bold. You just be bold. He said, the younger pilot told him, he said, okay, by the time we are hitting the runway, we should be 200 feet. We're on 500. He said, it doesn't matter. And the plane reached ground, having covered 2/3 of the runway in the air. So the one that was remaining was not enough for a break. So the guy finished him for grass. So grace to grass. I mean, it was. Yes, nobody on that flight was afraid. Yet your life that's been piloted by the Lord, you want to now handle it by yourself. Oh, God is helping me every day. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but every day I'm learning to just allow God. I just allow the Lord. Papa God, door open for day, no open, leave him. He said, come on, you pray until that door opens. I'm not praying till he opens, leave him. Yeah, I'm serious.
I'm not going to pray. Because do I know what's behind the door? You'll be praying to open a door that you don't know what is behind it. Some people are praying to get a job in a company that when you enter, you will see the kind of, at the end of the day, you will enter prison. God has closed the door for you now. You want to break it down with prayer. Fire, begin to pray. Fire it, all your enemies. They are blocking the door. Now, Holy Ghost, fire. Break out your gun. Shoot. No, they pray like that in church. There are churches who pray like that. If you go to that kind of church, it's foolishness we are doing. See. I can say what I like. Is it not here?
Yes.
You didn't invite me to go to another church. So I can say what I like. Other prayer then is foolishness. It's not prayer. I've been telling you people, that's not prayer. We're firing salvo at the door. Brethren, bazooka time. Boom, boom. No, I used to hear that. I thought it was a joke one day until one man of God, he has faded out from notoriety now. Those days, the guy was quite notorious. He said, begin to pray. I'm not kidding. People actually hold the devil in an arm lock. I'm punching his head. I saw this man doing, I'm like, yeah, so this is not a joke. Hold the devil and beat him. We can say those things in Teens Church. Are you getting my point? You know, in Teens Church, you can do what you like. I mean, you guys have to exercise themselves. When you pastor teens, you can't tell them, guys, today we are going to exercise on the devil's head. All right? 5 reps on the devil. Boom! His muscle you are exercising. Just that you have to look for an object to box. Since you don't have a physical punching bag, what do you use? The devil's head. When adult church, please, don't bring that in. I went to preach somewhere one day. Some young guy came saying, if you are blessed today, say, oh, ho. One of the elders said, my friend, keep quiet. There are things you don't do in elders' church. The Lord is good. What am I saying with all of this? So let's relax for the Lord. Is that okay? What we learn is what? Righteousness. That's what we learn. We just learn righteousness. Okay? Now, what I was saying with all of that, I know what I was saying. That God is very personal about us. I was talking about the angel of the covenant. He will teach you what is necessary for you to do. If it is food that is necessary for you to change, he will. There are different ways. I told you there was a time I used to have this terrible, itchy, I mean, I could give you the long medical terminology for describing the kind of skin rash. Long ago. Actually, it happened when I was in university. Those is when we used to use prayer, anyway, to do a lot of things. I didn't think of even going to clinic. Started when after I got married, I was in Enugu. Make a long story short. One day, I found out. Of course, I would pray about those things. I prayed and prayed. Then one day, I just found out what was the problem. I was overeating garden eggs. This garden egg. I use the word overeating because I eat it till now. It doesn't give me any problems. That time, my wife said I used to eat it as if it was going out of fashion. I think I know where I learned it from. There's one guy, you know, the way they just hype something for you, it just soaks into your body. You won't know it has entered your body. It's uncooked, it's fresh, it's natural. As if cyanide is not natural. As if toxic mushrooms are not natural. So something is natural does not mean that it will not hurt you. Anybody come and be harassing you. Don't eat. Many things that you cook, God knows why he says you should cook it. Raw yam is natural, bro. Try it, chop them. It's organic. Oh, natural. Take raw yam now, peel them. Cut them to pieces and just be using. You need a very, very sharp fork to pick that one up because it's not good grief for all those dull ones used for the cooked one. Take one. You know, it's crunchy. Put it in your mouth. You will know what natural things do to people. Your mouth will itch. Your throat. A lot of people are suffering malnutrition where they are born. Anyway, let me not go there. Let me not even go there. Because when God wants to see, God can prosper people. And he say you won't enjoy it. There are countries in this world that God has given abundant prosperity. He said, yet I will still make these people poor. Say, God, how are you going to do it? He said, I will send them a rumor. They will hate the food I gave them. The abundant food you are looking around, that country, a lot of people don't eat it. They will drive 20 kilometers to go and buy organically farmed eggs. Free-range egg. You want to hear from me? I'll tell you the whole truth. There's no difference between the one that they lay inside cage and the one they lay inside farm. Write it down. I told you. People will drive. My friend called me one day. His sister lives in the U.S. He said, Banky, my sister's children are malnourished. They live in America. I said, what happened? He said, she eats organic. So, yeah. He said, the things are expensive. They have to drive great distance to get them. So when normal children in America will throw three eggs into this one, they can't even eat one egg comfortably because their mother has to drive. And those organic eggs are small. What do you call that? Aqua, what do you call that in traffic? Aqua what? Is it orgasm? Those small egg ones. Yeah. Some people, see, if you like, eat aqua or gazio. It's not bad, but it's not medicinal. Don't let anybody deceive you. The thing is nice, it tastes good. The shell is very hard. There's a reason why it's hard. It's not because it's nutritious. It's because those things don't suffer. It's sit down there, be eating. I mean, let me preach my message for today, Joe. I don't even know what's going on here. No, I see people sometimes just go, I say, hey, when you're not full of thanksgiving, you lose all God's blessings. God will give people egg. They can't eat it. Why? They say it was farmed in the cage. So they need free range. And please, let me just add this one again. I keep saying, I hope you can still listen. Because some people have not listened. That's why I keep saying it. You're an African. You don't have American problems. You know, I've been telling you again and again. When they have discussing those things, say they are not talking to me. Why? He said, I live in Enugu. All our chicken, until proven otherwise, is free range. Even inside the cage, they are free range inside the cage. So leave that. Say, but inside the cage, it was free ranging inside the cage. Tell yourself that and eat your egg and move on with your life. I'm going to be deceiving you. How did I get there? Yeah, I'm talking about God helping us. That's why I went and believed a lie, I think. I'm not so certain, but I was eating garden egg anyhow. Have I got the look like wanky? Did you eat garden egg? I said yes. Okay. Is it for health? Yeah, you know, it cleans your stomach. It's not cooked. It's rich in this, rich in that. It has cobalt, molybdenum, manganese. Whatever it is, just be deceiving yourself. Except that I developed a terrible... papillovesicular, I can give you plenty English, pruritic rash, distributed. What's all of this? I begin pray. I've forgotten exactly how it happened, but one day I just discovered it was the garden eggs. So I stopped eating the garden eggs, and the rash vanished. That was like 20-something years ago, and then returned one day. No, it returned one day around that time. And it was because my friend and I went somewhere, bought some things. So later I asked him, what did they use for that? He said, no, they use garden eggs. I said, okay, that explains it. He said, why? I told him the reason why. So I went off garden eggs for the next few years. I returned. But this time around, in moderation. So if you see me now, I'd say, hey, sit down. If you bring garden egg with osoji, I eat everything. But it's not every day. And right now, I don't look at it for health. Yes. And the good Lord, therefore, has retained it. He didn't send leanness into my soul with it. I came to understand God so much that one day I wanted to put honey in my, tea in the morning. I lifted it. I was about to pour it in. It was the one of the containers you press like that. I was about to press the container. When I stopped, I looked up. I said, Lord, it's the taste. Not just provoke, like we say. Don't be angry. I said, no, I remember I was in the kitchen. I had to look up. I said, Lord, it's the taste. I explained. I said, I just described the bit. It has this flavor to my breakfast. You understand? It's like, Banky, eat your honey. I'm not talking.
Yeah, because you know the gist of honey is good for you. Honey is good. They say don't eat sugar. Brethren, you want to hear divine counsel? Eat sugar. If you like honey, eat honey. But this one, they don't eat honey. You don't eat sugar, eat honey. It's nonsense talk. It's meaningless. Honey has its own uses. But it's not the elixir for eternal life. If you eat honey, you will still die. Do you get my point? So relax. Please, I'm begging you. However, this point I was making. What is not good for you, the Lord will let you know. According to your level of faith each time, you're praying to him. If he said this thing, Joseph, it's not good for you. Some people, the Lord has been trying to tell you, sleep is your problem. You don't sleep, well, you're taking antihypertensive. God said, just 1 more hour. Then he said, so man go sleep, in future go wrong, come out. You have been awake. Have you caught the future? There are people that the Lord said, it's just 1 more hour of sleep I'm asking you to do so I can bless you. Because me and you are struggling for who will drive this vehicle. The vehicle of your life. Now, back to where we began from. What you need, however, all this while, is maintain your faith. Now, I'm talking about faith and patience. Maintain that faith. That faith has to keep. That is why I said, no, I will teach the word of God concerning the word of faith. I will teach the word of faith because, when you know, this man said something, R.J. Lutono. Lutono said that if I knew everything about businesses, I would have failed by accounting. He said, I did everything wrong. That's why I succeeded. That by the time he learned, he said, no, they don't do business like this now. Except that he had done, he had succeeded. He looked at all the things that he did. Ha! He said, Except that his business had expanded. He had become dominant. He had become very successful. He had a very large manufacturing, you know, industry plant. He had them all over the place. He had things here and there. But he looked back at the beginning. Everything he did was wrong. You know why? God, in summary, was amongst those that helped him. Very powerful scripture in Psalm 118. The Lord is with me amongst those who help me. The Lord was amongst those helping him. And that's what you need. That's what you need. That is what you need. That God will constantly be amongst those helping you. So, what we need to get this manifestation is keeping what? Faith. Keeping faith. That's what you need. So, it's through faith and patience that you inherit the promises. By that faith, God is able to do what he wants to do in your life. The way he blesses others, or he has blessed others in the past, may not be the way he wants to help you. He has different things. He has a lot of, Bible calls it hidden wisdom. Is that okay? He has a lot of it. Okay. Now, but I was saying something when we started, that life is attrition. People are always trying to take our faith. And listen, eventually, now this is the sad side. Now the sower went forth to sow. Do you remember that? Some fell by the wayside. They had no hope because they did not understand. Do you remember that? Then some, what's the next set? They fell on rocky earth. Some saw, but not enough to allow the root penetrate. So those ones, they sprang up, the Bible says, quickly. But because they did not have depth of earth, so the root did not sink deep to deep waters. Therefore, as soon as persecution came, as a result of the word, that is, they tried to do things right. They went back to their businesses. Say, let me operate like this. This is how I will live my life. Then problems came. Family talk started. Financial issues started. Harassment from friends and relatives started. But because they did not have depths of earth, they withered. But that temptation, that harassment, that trial, that plenty talk from family people came because of the word. If they were doing things normally, nobody would have spoken. Please don't ever forget that. Why people harass you is because you're not doing things normally. The Bible says it came, the Lord Jesus was speaking, because of the word. They will sit you down and tell you how foolish you are. Why? Because, you see, the path of God is not, it is not heading for the same place as that of the world. I need to emphasize that to Christians. You see, sometimes our Christianity is good and nice because, like, one of our, let me not mention names because it may not sound very complimentary. One man said one thing one time, that everybody in the family, they were like, which your Christianity is like that man's own. What they mean is this. He has bought two cars. He has built houses. He's giving us money. I hope that's the kind of Christianity you are practicing. There's one particular prominent minister. I shall not mention his name. His brother is a preacher. He is a minister in one of our major cities. His brother ministers in another city, but not the big one. That major one. He's very prominent. He's all over the media. He has plenty money. Plenty influence. His brother, I'm not even sure of his name. That's how not so popular he is. Family people ask him, is it not the same Jesus Christ two of you are serving? Is it not the same ministry both of you are in? You say you are doing ministry. Is it not ministry your brother is doing? Every time we see him, he has bought a new Mercedes Benz. You, this is your same old car, so you are seeing you. And you are, is it not the same God that called both of you to ministry? That's how family people lead you to damnation. I'm telling you, it's damnation. They will make you miss what God wants you to do because they think it's the same object, the same goal. That what we are heading for is build a house. I keep saying it and I say it again. Preacher, if you're out there listening to me, listen carefully. The way you are preaching, you would not invite Paul to preach in your church if he was alive today. Yes. The kind of things you hold dear, you preacher, I'm talking to you. Peter cannot stand on your pulpit. You're going to look down on him. That was us saying things. I'm sorry, don't mean to insult anybody, but it's a fact. Let me be nice in saying it. That's how I say things that are so erroneous, like if you don't have money, God cannot put you in control. Peter was not in control. Paul was not in control. He wasn't. Men who could decide whether they wanted to die or live, they were not in control. Men who were poor but making many rich, they are not in control. We preach things that make us think once in a while that, do we really read this Bible and call ourselves ministers? Ministers of what? See, it's possible to be a preacher and not know the scriptures. The time, who was it? Was it Josiah? That found the old, was it Josiah? The king, yes. That the book had been lost for decades. But there were priests offering sacrifices every day. According to watch law, they did not even know it. Priests that did not know God. They didn't know the law of God. Till today they exist. I hear pastors talk once in a while. I said, look, are you sure this guy is born again? Let me not sit on the matter. We are not heading the same direction. The goal of our ministry is not material success. We are not competing on who built a house first. We are not. Who has a fleet of cars does not say anything to us. Let's get that clear. That's why family people pressure you. That's why they harass you. If you're obeying God and you built a house in the village, they wouldn't say anything. The fact that you don't chase women, how does it concern them? And a lot of us think that good Christianity is that I don't commit adultery, I don't lie, I don't steal. And that's good Christianity. That's not good Christianity. That's fundamental. It's a sign you are born again. You have not done anything for God. I like one thing that John G. Lee used as an example. He was talking about walking the power of God. That people don't realize that there's a realm in walking in God's power. He said, the thing is just about, I don't do that, I don't do this, I don't do that. He said, one man was on the beach one day. He saw a crab. No crab. Of course, just trying to just explain something. Just using this to illustrate his point. He said, Mr. Crab,
How are you? My name is, he asked the crab, do you drink? The crab said, I don't. Do you smoke? I don't smoke. Do you womanize? The crab said, I don't. He said, oh, you're also a Christian. He said, shook the crab. Yeah, meet another Christian. What was he trying to say? The things you don't do. All right? It's not what really we're talking about. See, the world doesn't really worry you too much. Nigerian world, though. I don't know about American world. You know, when people have prospered, they have a different set of problems. But Nigerian world, they will let you serve God any way you like, as long as you are bringing money. Are you not aware of that? A lot of these families are saying, eh, you cannot be, in the very common in the East. Only in the East, only in Eastern Nigeria does this one happen. That is fight. You cannot be an Anglican if you're born in a Catholic home, or you can't marry. Yes. That's only when you are poor. When you have adequate amount of money, the vicar and the priest will come together. I know what I'm telling you. They will reach agreement on your matter. All these petty noises, who will collect the dues after? If you want to settle the matter, say, okay, what is my due? What are my dues for the next 20 years? You pay. So this is the new wife I'm bringing. Pay. Go to the dark church. Pay for both of you. Look, your wedding day, Anglican choir, and Catholic choir. They will sing. I know what I'm telling you. A lot of these quarrels. If you know, I was talking with Dami the other day. I won't tell you what I said, Dami. You've seen that the fight we go through on this doctrine is not about accuracy of letter at all. So, no, he knows what I'm talking about. I said it's business plan that people did for church. One black guy calling himself Banky will now come and say that is not the scripture. The man said, you think I don't know? How am I supposed to get money if I open my mouth, it's not in the scripture? Please, what am I trying to say? Persecution comes when you follow the word. In this our society of today, usually because it doesn't produce what the world is running after. And a lot of us have tried, it's called syncretism. That is, joining all the gods together. A lot of us are now trying to bring worldly goals into Christianity. And the main aim is that we want to please the society around us. I won't lie to you, there was a time I believed some of those things. They say, you know, if you come to the market and you pack your Lexus LS570 there, if you preach, they will listen. It's because you can't heal the sick. It's because you can't raise the dead. So you have to go and buy a car. Which car did Philip drive to Samaria when they paid attention to him? Which car? The Babalawos did they all run after. Which car does he drive? No, ask yourself, the Babalawo, they all go to meet in the village. Which car does he drive? But the guy at least convinced them he has power. We like to preach a gospel that does not even pretend to have power. So we now want to use material things to promote that gospel. Nonsense. If people should listen to you because of the car you drive, then they should listen to 419 men. They should listen to drug dealers. For goodness sake, they should listen to murderers and kidnappers. Brethren, stop that thing. Drive your car is okay. But nobody's listening to you because of the car you drive. If you bring that one matter up, you're making the gospel nonsense. You are undermining the gospel. I'm not saying you shouldn't drive your car. Please, drive it. Be honest with you, I believe in very nice cars, I believe in it, but because they are functional, but not because they give any credence or credibility to my gospel. When Jesus wanted to prove that he was his Messiah, he allowed a man to die for 4 days. Then spoke to the rotten body, Lazarus, come forth. After that, people were rushing to come and see Lazarus. You want to come and bring a car that you unbelievers coupled together.
to prove that your God is alive. Can you see that you are not exactly two compost mentees? I'm talking about persecution that comes as a result of the word. That's the point I'm making. Persecution comes as a result of the word. It comes because the word is not producing what they are expecting. If it was producing it, it wouldn't bring persecution. If it was producing it, it wouldn't bring persecution. So get ready for it. Obeying God, many times, it brings this kind of derision. It brings this kind of harassment. And let me say this. That's actually the aim. That's why God, you know, he said that those who don't have what? Depths of earth. They fall away at that point in time. I look back to those who were in school. They just look back to university days. A lot of people have abandoned this ministry thing that they, you know, we felt that was where we're heading for. Because the true ministry is not really the way a lot of people think it is. You can pastor, you can be a missionary, do all kinds of things. And you're not well to do. But when they believe that gospel at a time, they thought, you know, when they believe the gospel of prosperity, it was as if go in there, plenty of money will follow you. And God had to prove to them it's not like that. Unfortunately, many fell away. Persecution comes as a result of the word. The Lord is allowing you to test the genuineness of faith. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Is your faith genuine? Now, we're going to the parable, right? Line by line. Where were we? Among the rock, yes. Then the next level are those that have depths of earth. Yes. Except that when they sprang up, time to produce. This time it was not the world pushing them now. I've already used some of it as illustration now. It was themselves in themselves. The cares of the world. The deceitfulness of riches. Please, brethren, pay attention to these things. It's still going on around and misleading people. The deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things. Other things. When they use other things, that means one thing is necessary. Are you getting my point? When it says the lust for other things, they ask yourself, what is the thing? And Jesus is so careful. He said, one thing is needful. Now, what is the main thing they should have pursued? Let's summarize it. It's called the will of God. That is summary. I'll expand it later. All right? For example, as a preacher of the word, I'll give an example now. I've been teaching Platform for Kingdom World Ministries for a number of years. There's what is called lust for other things. Please, apply this the way it connects with you. The reference will tell you that God called him and said, I've made you a teacher. I've forgotten the exact word, but I've made you a teacher of the word in righteousness, in holiness, and in truth, something like that. And that's all God called him to do. Can again say the Lord said to him, go teach my people faith. That's what the Lord called him to do. Now, I've been teaching the word. My understanding of what God wants me to do, and you're a witness, you are witnesses. It's what I've been doing. In fact, there's another phase we're trying to break into. That's, I'm going back now, not forward now. I mean, when I say break into, not there's a new revelation. No. I want to go back and lay step by step and record properly the fundamental doctrines. All right, for Christians, because a lot of Christians these days don't know anything. Yeah, they don't know. That is why somebody can say how to defend yourself from witches, to hide your pregnancy from them. And people will say, hey, now we know. Otherwise, witches will eat it. It's ignorance. They're not wicked people. They just don't know. That's why people are still trying to buy their miracles with an offering. They're not bad people. They just don't know. They just don't know. All right? Now, what I've found out, God has helped me with, that I'm just giving a testimony of my own, the way I've run ministry all these years, is that people have just been blessed because God helped me to put down in record, either written record or digital audio record, what I have, instruction that the Holy Spirit has given by my mouth.
And they've had access to it easily. And God helped us with the internet. I'm talking about one thing. You understand? Now, I told the story of Derek Prince. I told the story of Kenneth Hagin. I just made a bit about myself, but those men, let's use those men. Let me talk about Derek Prince, who I talk about a lot because I listen to his teachings a lot. The thing is that, do you know, I don't have a picture of the headquarters of Derek Prince Ministries International. It's not that I'm telling you now that it's crossing my mind for the first time. Do you follow? I don't know. He has never put, you know, there are preachers who show what they fly, what they drive, where they live. Derek Prince has never offered us a sneak peek. Never offered a peek into any of that part of his life. Never. To be honest with you, you know, I've never thought about it until now. I listened to Kenneth Hagin for decades. I started listening to Kenneth Hagin I started reading him in 1987. How many years now? So, for almost four decades, I followed his ministry, listened to him once in a while, still read his materials. Do you know, it's now that we are talking about it that I realize I have never thought about the house he lived in. Whether it was big or small. Whether I had a swimming pool or it didn't have. Now, it could have had, though. It could have been Tulsa, Oklahoma. These are parts of America where land, plenty. My friend was telling me that there are still parts, places in Texas that you could buy a whole ranch for $50,000. So it could have, but you know what I'm talking about? Do you know? Now that I'm telling you about it, that I'm realizing that I have never thought about it. I'm not talking about whether it's good or bad. It has never crossed my mind. Yet, can I preach for 2 weeks and you won't hear Derek Prince Kenneth Hagin from my mouth? How is that going to happen? The name will drop. Then I will tell you that I have on my own that storage over 300 of Derek Prince, over 300 of Kenneth Hagin, I can tell you that. One thing, the same man will explain that, his message till now, I think they're preaching, broadcasting his message on over 100 languages till today. Derek Prince, and he's not alive right now. 100 languages. Remember the thing I told you about him at the age of 40? No house. No bank account, no money, and most importantly, no plans. Didn't have a plan. Now, this is what happens to a lot of us. Listen. See, in this life, you don't have energy for too many things. Like I was telling you yesterday. Was it 2 days ago? You pick one thing. That takes your energy. Then, a few peripheral things are there in life, which you can now spread the rest of the energy on. But your main drive, your main focus cannot be on two things. It cannot be. You see, it can't be. It just cannot be. And then there's a season of your life you will tell God what is most important to you. Then he carries you on by himself from there. You can't. They're not two. One of my colleagues told me long ago, he said he wanted to see me because he knew I was a preacher around the ministry. I said, okay, what is it? He said, now that he has been made professor, he can now face ministry. What advice do I have for him? I felt like saying, the advice I have for you is that you are not called. Don't bother. That was the only advice I had for him, but I couldn't tell him. But I told my wife, I said, sweetheart, please, make sure I never tell you this. Otherwise, you will lose your husband. I said, when I say this, call me to order. Say, Pastor, please, don't try it. I went home and told my wife, I said, apparently, he's not called. Like, now I have the lost time that I've reached the peak of my career. I
I said, you're not called. You see, I don't mean you're evil, though. I just say, focus on your career. I hope that's where God called you to. But that's where your energy has been. They lost for what? Other things. So what is the main thing? Each person has to answer. Because it's in pursuing other things that those who persecution could not harass. Yeah. Persecution could not handle them. They threatened them. Yet they did not budge. But when in themselves, they started pursuing the lust of the flesh, the lust, how do you say it? Okay, I'm adding, yeah, exactly, thank you. We're adding two scriptures. We're adding John, and we're adding, well, of course, Matthew and Luke. Anyway, when we start pursuing the lust of the flesh, the disobedience of riches, the pride of life, all of them the same thing. I've seen pastors going to go to open branch somewhere. You know why? We have noticed, physically speaking, I'm not saying it's spiritual, but physically speaking, if you pastor in a small town and you pastor in a big city, your best day will be different from church members. There's one in which they will park a car outside. So, happy birthday, Pastor. You know, I just want to thank God. You've been a blessing. What a blessing. Hallelujah. You preach three times that amount of word. If you get more than yam and plantain. And coconut. You see? And then, I just want to thank God. Praise the Lord for what God has done. You know? He's pounded. You see, they may pound the yam for you. That's all. See, it's natural. It happens. One day, this is not now. What I'm telling you is, many years ago, one man was telling him that his senior pastor told him that on a normal Sunday, nothing special, just when he finishes preaching, Pastor, you are blessed. Pastor, God bless you. Pastor, God bless you. All right? He totals it. It's 3 million naira. And what I'm telling you is nothing less than 7 years ago. That if it's less than that, he asks himself, what did I preach that I've offended people today? One man said in his church, it was only another minister. So now we're on the third service. That guy said, third service on a Sunday. How much is your prophet suffering? Like, how can you be preaching 3 services? You want to die? How much? Yeah, that was the answer another minister gave him. That is why, let's be honest. That's why a lot of people, a man told me once, we need the money in Lagos to do the work of God where we are. So he went to open a branch there. See, let's say this in the way it is. That's why a lot of people miss the place that God called them. They're not preaching funny doctrines like you can prosper anywhere. I said, don't be stupid. God told Israel where to go and prosper. Don't twist this doctrine. Because what happens is that one of our brothers was telling me the other day, then their church, they say, because all of you want to travel, you want to go to North America. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's evil. But stop saying God doesn't have a plan for people just because you want to go. Then anywhere you go, God can make you overcome. You will go to where he didn't send you. You will know that doctrine is not true. You will soon find out. Please, if you want to go anywhere you want to go, stop twisting the word of God. When God was sending Israel to the promised land, he gave them the boundaries. I told you, I was talking about it when we were talking earlier. Demos Yakarian said it's a speculation business. Grain speculation. He was going to get wiped out in a matter of weeks. Because, life has traps. Government had a cap. Go and read the story. It's in this book, Happiest Fool on Earth. Government had a cap on the price of grain. They said that is the reason why the price. So if they said it was supposed, now please, this was arbitrary. If it was supposed to be $100 a bushel, the price was at $100 a bushel. They said, how if government just leaves this cap now, it will just shoot up. You know what he did? He went and placed orders, signed contracts, because the cap will soon be lifted. Once they lifted the cap, you know what happened? The price pummeled. He was bleeding on a daily basis. This is where I'm going. When he went to pray, he said, God, I'm in trouble. Help me. God told him, let me use my own words. I've been telling you, there are two questions God asked. Where are you? What's the second one? What are you doing here? That's exactly what God said. What are you doing here? Is this what I sent you to do? He said, the Lord said to him, I didn't give you that amount of, listen to this, time. I was talking to one brother the other day. As a human being, not only can you not, should you not always be busy physically, your mind should not always be busy. There are times you just sit down, I'm telling you, just watch a movie with your wife. Watch a comedy, laugh. Play Ludo. Eh? Doesn't know how to play Ludo. You and your wife go and learn. Okay, snake and ladder. That one doesn't need skill. Yes. Play Ludo. Me, I don't know. Some people, if I tell you this, you'll be surprised. You know, I've never been able to play computer games in my life. You know, this junior pastor, I can do. One day, he was a little boy. He was a little boy. I mean, when he was little, I mean, like, was around 10, maybe just after 10. It was the days of PS2. Uh-huh. So, I took his PS2, what do you call that, the controller, the pad. Uh-huh. So, I was trying to do something. The guy was looking at me. It was the way he did it. Like, no, it was like, put on the hand, please. But like, let me help you. The way he snatched the console from my hand, I look at this boy. So those of you are like me, please go and buy Ludo. Ludo works. See, I've not seen anything. In fact, women don't play computer games, so you can't play with your wife. No, Ludo is one of the most. When you are, those of you are getting married, or just getting married, please go and play. What is hard though? Pick two. Where? Ludo is very important. Young couples, my wife and I used to play Ludo when we first married that time. When they play, you go chop, you go peck, you know, you peck. You know, there's peck and go and peck and stay. What I'm saying is that there must be times you sit down and do nothing but play games. Free your mind. Free your mind. It's very important not to be busy all the time. See, I've told you, now, this is a theory. Don't quote it when you live here. I tell my medical students, I tell, what's the cause of high blood pressure? I say artificial lighting. Somebody should go and study it. Artificial lighting. It's a theory. It's not the medical fact. What do I mean by artificial lighting? Those days, everybody went to sleep on time. How much candle you want burn? But these days, if you don't quench the light, you don't go sleep. The light stays on by default. So I had a theory. I said, that's why people's blood pressure are up. They don't sleep. And then they sleep again. Always have something to do. Wake up at midnight. Just bring out the computer. And that enter button. Now send messages that when they wake up in the morning, they will see it. Guilty as charged. Look at the way he's laughing. You know them. By their laughter, you shall know them. Brethren, sleep. Told one of my boys, I said, if I don't see your phone on this table, I will see it for 2 weeks. So anytime it's time to enter the room at night, he comes out and drops the phone on the ironing table. I said, if I pass there one day, I don't see the phone there. Once you carry it to the room like this, I've never, since I married, I'm not saying I'm perfect, I'm just saying some small tips God gave me earlier. I've never had the television in my bedroom. You enter my house, you see television. You see television here, you see television there. My bedroom, I said, lie against the law of God. That is hard not to sleep. No. I said, put it in the sitting room so that when I have to watch it, I have to get up and go out. But the one that remote just be there, just like, bam, Don't go on. Breaking news coming right from Los Angeles. We are tracking the arrest of the man that shot this one. This is how you're looking like. Have they caught him? See, I'm telling you, if you're a news person, 2 hours, you'll be there staring at what is going on in New York. Not even in Lagos. Not Abuja. So I told my wife, I beg, please. So we never, from day one, not television in the room. So put it outside. When you want to watch, we'll get up and go out there. That's my theory. There must be times in your life when you just relax. I was trying to emphasize that. You are not doing anything. And it must be regular, not once a month, not at the end of the year. Every week, there will be a day that you leave most things undone. You just be there. You just be washing clothes, looking at cupboard. Just do things that are not productive and they don't tax the mind. Back to what we're saying. So people, a lot of times, what happens to us? I'm talking about the loss for other things. What trials and harassment from people cannot take, suddenly you start asking yourself, preachers now, as an example, people will come out to church for here, they're going to open church somewhere else, where that is where money is. There are many things that, a man told me once, I said, why are you opening church somewhere? He said, that's where you find people who will support you. And both of us were in Enugu. They are going to open church in Lagos so you can find those who will support you. I'm older. So if it's now, I'll react differently. Those days, I didn't know how to tell him. I just kept quiet. But in my mind, I said, that's very foolish. That is where you also find those who will steal from you. That's just where you find those who will defraud you. Who will put your name on social media in a negative way. All kinds of things. Don't think it's only good things you find in some places. Everywhere where you see some of those good things, you also have big trouble. And like I say all the time, to the glory of God, I'm not saying I know how to do it. But before I tell you this, to the glory of God. One thing that kept me, all right, why the source temptations didn't really spring up for me is that, support me to do what? I felt, personally, my job from the beginning did not need my wife and I and nobody else, really. Yeah. I felt my job was just right. And preach and record. See, when I started recording messages, the only person I preached to was my wife. Maybe you don't understand. I will literally sit her down. I bought a microphone for 300 naira. I remember very well. I never used it after that day. It worked, but it was very low quality. I sat down and preached to her. I think I still have the tape somewhere. I've never listened to it. But that was the trajectory. That was the plan. Then I started writing tracts. And she and I alone folded 10,000 tracts. Yeah, 10,000. She folded tracts until she began to have arthritis of this thumb. Began to ache. Had to tell her to stop. I counted 10,000 tracts. Only 12 of us folded it. And it was distributed in this Enugu. I was content with doing that. So you couldn't tell me you will find supporters in Lagos. I don't need them. I had enough money to print tracts. So that temptation, be honest with you, it didn't really come to me. It didn't come. I was not for one moment. But to the glory of God, I was telling you, I believe, all right, 90% of those who give to kingdom would have never been to this hall. This hall will stay. 90%. 90% I have never seen. I don't know them. I can say this one confidently. At least 85% are not in Enugu. I don't know them. Maybe if I meet the Enugu, I probably have greeted me. So somebody said, I will go from here to get somebody to help me. The temptation has never come to my mind. People start jumping up and down because of this curse of the world. That curse of the world is different from deceitfulness of riches. What's curse of the world? I'll tell you.
is what shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? That is called mammon. But let me explain something to you about mammon. Mammon is very basic. Mammon is not big things. God does not take excuses, mammonic excuses for disobeying him. God would rather you die where he posted you. And if you say, why are you dying? He said, Lord, you said I should stay here. He said, good boy. You died well. So people that harassment could not tempt personal thoughts. See, let me tell you something again. Self-preservation is not allowed to be a reason for decision making as a Christian. God expects that if you want to preserve yourself, you talk to him. Any other thing is a sin. A believer's life is a sacrificial life. It's how do I pour myself out? It's not how do I save my soul. It's how do I pour my soul out? Lord, where will I expend my life so that it will not be useless? That's believer's life. Lord, where do I expend my life so that I know that this life was used? Do you follow my point? Yes. I can boldly say, Lord, I did this with my life in your service. I've told this story many times. I know you are tired of hearing it, but that's a problem with listening to me. You will hear the same thing again and again. Ken Hagin did it to me, so I will do it to you. He told us the same story again and again. Is that not so? My own is even good. Somebody else's story I'm telling. You look back. I thought I was reading a book titled An Unbribed Soul about the life of Oswald Chambers. And he died very early in life. It was in his mid-40s, thereabout. And the man who was talking said that such a short life appeared when he was alive. But you look back after, it looked like such a long life. Why? Because of all the books written that he wrote, all right, from his teachings. And of course, till today, the world most successful, most popular daily devotional was from his writings. That's my utmost for his highest. That's the world's number one daily devotion. All right? So they say, you look back, it looks like a life fully lived. Is that okay? Except for one thing. That life well, that long, like a long life, will have meant nothing were it not for the woman he married, B.D. Chambers. Because there were no tape recorders, and the man didn't write anything more than one book, Christian Disciplines, 2 volumes actually. Yeah, the books, I counted the other day, 30 of them thereabout, under his name. All of them, apart from Christian Disciplines, from the notes that she took while he was preaching. He died writing only Christian Disciplines. Then, sometime after he died, they picked her notes because she was gifted in shorthand. She could write everything he was saying. She followed him about and wrote the things that she said. That he said, sorry. That's all that's published. My utmost for his highest. The real name should have been B.D. Chambers. Or at least Oswald and B.D. Chambers. What did she accomplish in life? That's all. But this is 100 years after. Are you getting my point? That man's life, and of course her life, is still touching our lives. That's what Paul meant, that a life is poured as a drink offering. Do you follow my point? That's a life being used. So it's not, the Christians don't make decisions based on how do I preserve my life. It's how do I make sure God allowing me that life is used effectively in his eternal plan. He has a plan. I thought about it the other day. I said, God, please help me. Because you see, I keep saying, I thank God for people amongst us that God has blessed materially. But please don't hold them high up there as the way he does things. Don't.
Thousands of years after, at least about 2,000 years, Paul left us. Yet, who has lived in New Testament times, apart from the Lord himself, that's as effective in affecting life like Paul the apostle, who as of today, if he entered most of our churches without his gospel, he would not be welcome. All he needs to do is disguise that he's not the one. You just take those same letters and come and preach it in church. Who wants to listen to him? For what? So sometimes when arguments come up, like somebody say that you can prosper anywhere. I say, see, this talk about prospering anywhere is because your focus is wrong. You would not have had this argument if we're not talking about gathering for ourselves. If we're looking at how do I spread myself, throw myself out, use myself effectively as part of God's plan, this argument will have been less. Like I said the other time, many of you listening to me, you've read my little book. What do you call it? Choices. Many people have contributed their money to print thousands of copies. When I say thousand, I don't mean 1,000, I mean not 2,000. Thousands of copies. The other first one, those brethren did 10,000. I had to cut it for them to 8,000 choices or 7,000 choices, then balance it up with Beyond Gifts and Talents. I've seen videos. Pictures. People just send me pictures from somewhere. One day, one of our brothers went to a home. He saw one little girl, secondary school girl, reading Choices, Key to Destiny. He made her put the book up, took a picture of her, and sent it to me by WhatsApp. Oga, see, I'm visiting somebody. Look at what I saw. So I asked that time. You gave me an answer. I'm not going to ask it again now. I said, would you like if somebody asked me, for example, 10 billion naira, not to write that book? I wrote a book as a single man with fire in my bones. It was shortly before I got married. Sent it to my wife. Just wrote something, give it to her to read. When we got married, she brought it, of course. Among her things, I took my book, my paper back, had it typed, adjusted it, and printed it as a book, Choices, Key to Destiny. I think I can say it's the number one book that this ministry has released. How would you like for somebody to give me 20 billion naira not to write the book? If you gave me $20 billion, not naira, after a few years, it will be forgotten. Yeah, it will be forgotten. But if that book really blessed people, years later, they'll still be referring to it. How do I pour my life out? You see, he said he will see the result of the travail of his soul and he will be satisfied. And what was that result? The effect the travail of his soul had in the lives of other people. Please get it. The loss for other things, he said, that is things pulling them away from the main thing for their lives. And actually, what I plan to teach today, let me introduce it. Don't worry, I'll close now. But there's a place I was going. Remember I said, what are temptations? For today, what are temptations? The other time I said, the road offered to us to get to our desires apart from the one God planned. Today, what are temptations? There are things offered to us that are other things, apart from that thing that God said, go and contribute into my eternal plan. God's eternal plan matters. That's why I talked about Biddy Chambers and her husband, Oswald. That's why I mentioned about Paul. You read through your scriptures, all kinds of persons are there in the law and the prophets. And what is important about them is what they contributed to this eternal plan. I hope you're getting my point. So, the story of Hannah was told because we needed to know about Samuel. Not about Hannah herself. We needed to know about Samuel. Samuel's relevance is in David. The anointing of David. The establishing of the covenant of David.
David was not a very nice man. I've read my Bible, and that's why in this life, stop looking for nice people. Now I've been telling you. Some people you don't like, God loves them. Because what's more important to them than any other, you may be angry with the fellow. You don't mind the way he doesn't even greet somebody. When you greet him, you carry his nose, put it in the sky. He's the only person that, see, that's your problem. That's your problem. Like, you know, like a man like Donald Trump. You understand? Is if you are not a Trumpist, like one of those guys who follow him, if you are not MAGA, he will look like Donald Trump. But every time I look at him, I say, get a plan. The nicest of them all was Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. I shall not say more than that. Yeah. For some people I don't know, whose names I should not mention, it's as if the devil had plans. But this man, you look at him, you may not like him. But something, his first 10 years, the second one is good, I know, thank God for his life. But that first one, as American president, as a Christian preacher, teacher of the word, you may not like me when I say it, but I can pinpoint how God saved America through him, even though they will not agree. In case you do not know, God saved Nigeria through him. Yeah. See, he did. What's the name of the fellow before him? Under his watch, Boko Haram took 3 local governments in Borno State and turned it to their caliphate. And wanted to buy weapons. Can you believe America went out of their way to block our opportunity to buy weapons to fight? Why? Because good Lord Jonathan had the guts to sign an anti-LGBT law in Nigeria. They said, okay. As soon as this Egbon came into power, day one, is anybody pushing LGBT abroad? It's my personal enemy. Guys, now weapon, and I give them satellite image. That is support, instant. I told you a story about the pastor, missionary in Turkey, who was arrested in prison unjustly because they wanted to use him to negotiate for the return of Gulen, an anti-Erdogan guy who was in America. He has died now, all right? That pastor was in detention, unlawful, for 2 years. America didn't do anything. They just went and told Oga Donald. He said, where is that? He called them that they should send the guy home. What shocked me? He said if they don't send the man home, he will turn the fight to an economic fight. Ah. You don't get the point. They arrested one missionary. He said he will turn it to an economic fight. And go to your father's house. This your president is not a normal one. One lady was sentenced to death for blasphemy in Pakistan. Next thing we knew, she was in America. We know the story. You sentence a Christian to death? They look like, you guys don't want my trouble. They packaged her and her family and exported her to America. Said, good, keep her here for us. See, if you like, don't like him. It's your personal problem. There are people that say, hey, you guys, you know, it's you that this LGBT bothers, he bothers us. Especially since you want to export it to us. That was why when he was campaigning that second one that he didn't win, he was surprised that in Onitsha, a church led, they carry placard. Hundreds of people on the road marching for Donald Trump. The man was like, what? Even those abroad, like, are these not Africans from that dash old country? Remember the dash old country? Yes. He called us a toilet country. We said we don't mind. After all, we call it wars ourselves. We call it a zoo, don't we? So leave that thing. Leave that thing. We don't mind. Oh, God abuse us. But the way you are helping God, we are in support. Yes. God is more important to us than us. So leave that thing. The gospel of... No, I'm telling you. So you may not like somebody... No, back to David. I've read my Bible enough. I also don't like David.
I don't like womanizers. Let's start with that. A man die. Because your wife talk nicely to you, where you know you can't kill him. First thing where you collect that woman. David. It gets something where David do. Me self, I don't like it. I don't like the days to get money, those early days. Go and read your Bible. Go and read it. The ways you read, go and read the ways you read. Which village is that Philistines? Kill everybody. He killed them to take their goods. So that nobody lived to tell the story. Go and read the story. But God's opinion. A man after my heart who will do all my desires. That's what New Testament Acts told us. God said he will do all my desires. So leave him for me. See, all these things you don't like about him, I will handle it. That's what God was saying. As long as it was paramount to him that my will was done, as long as it was paramount to him that my kingdom is established, David will give that his life that you don't like for God. He will risk it for the pride of the kingdom of God. He said, this is the army of the living God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to be insulting the army of the living God? He turned the lost fight to a personal fight. When they say, let's build a temple for God, some of us will sow heavy seeds, right? Powerful seeds. David cleared everything he had and stacked it for the building of the temple. Kings had private treasuries. He gave up his own 100%. 100% he released it for the building of the temple of God. He said he won't give himself rest until he sees. He was the one that went to bring back the ark from where they abandoned it since the days of Saul. You may not like him, but there were some core things about him that God liked. Core. On the bad side, Saul did his own. But there are some things that David would never do that Saul did. Saul got to an encampment of priests. He was looking for David. He killed everybody. Priests of God. Saul didn't respect the things of God. He didn't. David would never do that. If you slapped a priest, David would cut your hand. I can assure you. Not that you killed a priest too. A priest was offering sacrifice, you slap him, David would have that hand cut. Those are the things that he wasn't happy about. A man came and lied that I'm the one that killed Saul. He killed the man. Say, your own mouth has testified against you. What's wrong with you? He killed. I said, oh, God, David, take it easy now. The guy just wanted to, you know, now runs. I mean, the guy was trying to, just to be sharp, man. Quickly make a few bucks here. And he helped you. He thought you would like. David said, oh, a normal person should know your enemy is dead. You should be happy. That's one of the things I didn't like about David. But let's leave my own personal opinion. But him, he will never raise his hand against the Lord's anointed, even if he's a priest. So that why I'm going into all of this, see, cause things. You'll be surprised. This life, God just chose. Each person had to come. I'm talking about God's eternal plan. God had a plan. David fitted. So I read through my Bible. That David story, let me just tell you. You are listening to this. I don't care how bad you have been. You can be as loved as David. Yeah, no. I read to David's story. I felt like telling everyone, see, don't worry. I don't care how crazy you have been. Whatever bad thing you have done. This, see, just go and tell God, see, let's talk now. I've come with the blood of Jesus Christ. I better pass David. So, if you can love David. Go and read the story. The killing of Uriah. The mercy that God used not to kill David. It was extra dose. To forgive David when he killed Uriah was the hardest thing I think God ever did for him. Yeah. But the forgiveness could do only one thing for David, though. He just saved his life.
allowed him to have Solomon. After that, God withdrew him. It was too bad. So, what I'm going with this, do you know, so that David, all this, not, I decided to tell all these bad things about David to let you know that despite it, because he fitted perfectly in God's eternal plan, God preserved him, overlooked all his faults. Time he killed Uriah, that was supposed to be instant death. He knelt down and said, God said, Nathan, tell him I've forgiven him. But the boy will die. 7 plagues, I counted. 7 wolves will come to his household, but he will live. I counted them. There were 7. The first war is over. Woe unto David and his household, for the 6th war is about to come. The boy died. That was the first war. They went one after the other. And the 7th one, David looked like, Kai, this has been a tough life. And the guy died. Cuckoo died in peace. Who am I going with all of this? See, if somebody inserts himself into God's plan, the way he will so forgive your faults. The way we so forgive your faults. The way he will so forgive your faults. So, Satan's major agenda is to withdraw you out of God's plan. That's it. That's it. That's his main agenda. And he does it, let me just tell you, the number one way he does it these days is comfort. Yeah, let me just tell you, see, this country you are living in, if you're living in America now, people have told me before, they've calculated for me what people like me will be earning. And I'm thinking, that's just assuming they are alive. I won't say it to your face. I'll just be saying in my heart that, see, assuming they are alive. Assuming they are alive. You see, the God they deal with, I think it's very personal. My wife will tell you that sometimes, it has happened before, maybe she did something that really upset me. She's going, she's literally checking her back. Whether God is coming. It's not me. She has driven her car. She has left the house. This man of God was very upset this morning. What would the master say? Oh, you will be driving extra JJ because she's afraid this car may enter into one gutter. Yeah, and he's that person. Fear him like that, brethren. Forget reverence. Fear. This reverence thing is why we just diminish the fear of God. Fear God. Fear God. I mean, that's how I do my thing. I won't tell you what I was saying. I'll tell them that here one place I had to be begging God and explaining to him that, Baba God, please. It's not an evil thing. I won't give you details now. I said, Lord, please, I beg. Well, I feel like he agreed, sure. But is that personal? Very personal. So, when people come and tell a story, this is how much money you will get here and all of that. And I just think of it. Dead men don't collect money. If you're working in America, now this is what they will pay you. Would they pay my cops? No, they won't. Now you wouldn't be working if you were dead. I said, in that case, leave me here. A poor bankie is better than a dead one. Yeah. So leave it. Just leave it. I see all of it as temptations to drag me out of where God wants me to be. If you want to motivate me, all right? I mean, your name is Satan. You want to help me disobey God. Please don't bother with that side. I'm not saying I'm too strong, but God has given me enough wisdom. Find another thing. Let me talk to, like Paul said, those of you who are mature. Let me explain some things to you. This Satan doesn't give up. I'm saying it not to magnify him, but to let you be careful so that you'll be warned. Let me stop the teaching here, but let me introduce this subject. Maybe I may explain that next time. What assignment do you have? Staying on one thing. Staying on the thing. Find the thing. Find what it is and stay there. Even if it kills you, stay there. I thought about Jesus Christ, our Lord, and I found out many of us, how many temptations of Jesus do you know? 3, yeah.
I'm happy you said three, even though I know you know I think you're wrong, but I'm happy you said it because I'm looking for somebody to say it so I can tell the person is wrong. So thanks for volunteering to say the three. But into the scriptures, if you understand that the aim of his own temptations was to pull him away from being the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. It was not to kill him prematurely. That would have been good. And that one, he succeeded. After all, he was just 33 thereabout when he was taken to the cross. And Paul told us that if they had known, they would not have gone that route. Or that route. You understand my point? Let me not speak like an American. He wouldn't have gone that way. Is that okay? So his aim was not to take things from him, really. Things like that. Satan had just one aim. John said loud, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world." Now, listen to this. The fact that somebody knows your dreams does not mean they will kill it. Please, that doctrine of if they know your dream, they will end it is a fat lie. That doctrine of hide your dream from your enemies, otherwise they will end it. See, the only reason why you hide, in quotes, not really hide, you don't spill things to people is because those who can speak to you, they can kill your faith. That's all. It's not, if your enemy, your neighbor who doesn't discuss with you, hears it, it's his problem. He will die quicker. He will be more frustrated. The people you shouldn't tell your enemy your dreams to are those who have mouth to kill it for you. And they are nice people, they are not witches, they are senior pastors, they are fathers, they are mothers, they are cousins, they are religious people who don't know the way to a shrine. Those ones you are hiding it from, God hates the fact that you're hiding it from them. Whoever that is, you know what to do for your own safety. Now, are you getting my point? Those who you are hiding it from, the people that are telling us to hide it from, are the very people that God wants to know about it. Did you hear what I said? They are the very people that God wants to know. So that his word might be fulfilled, which says he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. They are he wants them to know. And please, from the scriptures, let us get this clear. The man, they give us an example that he told his dreams. Can you see what he went through? What's the name of the guy? So his enemies plotted against him, true or false? As a result of his dream, true or false? So his dream did not come to pass. Thank you, madam. They made it come to pass. Thank you. They made it come to pass. They did. They are plotting. They are plotting, Gunga. That was what God used. It was their arrangement, the shrine meeting, that God used to build the blocks to carry him up to his that destiny. So please, all this fear of witches who will come and chop something, leave that in. Please, if you want to do well in life, get a megaphone and announce to the witches, God has blessed me. My business is opening. I'm about to have a baby. God has blessed me. I'm traveling. I'll be coming back. God has blessed me. I have a visa to visit Singapore, United States, United Kingdom. From there, I'm going to try and get to two cities in China. Uncle, you hear? I've told Christians, be careful dividing families. People don't talk, they are creating on. I told you my own relative traveled. And the mother was pained. You know what the mother said? He said, yes, now. I'm the witch that does not want my son to prosper. That's how pained that old man was. Because my guy goes to a church where fire is burning on a mountain. And they said that if you tell, your enemies won't let you. What is the success in your travel to America? What is even the success in it? Nonsense and ingredients. Where did that expression come from? Ijoma, you will know. Nonsense and ingredients. I don't. My wife has added one now. Said it is nonsense and the ingredients thereof. The Lord is good. Brethren, relax. Nobody can do anything to you. They can't. Because the very plot of the princes of this world was the key to the fulfillment of the destiny of Jesus Christ. It looked like they succeeded, Abby. But God said that was the first step in the plan, Gongo. If they did not succeed, the sacrifice will not work. So relax. So please relax. And if your pastor preaches the other, hide your, don't. I say, oh God, please. David, Joseph said it. What happened? He said, the people I cannot tell is people like you. Faith killers. The dangerous people in your life are faith killers. People who have too much sense to tell you that God does not know what he's doing. They are the ones you'll be afraid of. They have all kinds of health advice to give you apart from thus says the Lord. They are the ones you should hide your progress from. When you are believing God, hide it from them. They are in church. They are not in witches' covens. They are the ones that tell you to obey God halfway. No need to be fanatical. The aim of Satan was to drive Jesus away from his divinely assigned assignment. So he used temptations to follow that. I will just run through them. Maybe we might come back to it next time. You know about the famous three temptations? All of it to disqualify him, because this must be a lamb without blemish. No sin could be found with him. Turn these stones to bread. Let me not preach about that now. He refused. Bow and worship me. I'll give you all these kingdoms. Satan can give kingdoms. Otherwise, it would not have been a temptation. It was not a lie. And then he resisted. Tempt the Lord thy God. He refused. Jumped down as well. But then I counted 6 other temptations. All of it for one purpose. For example, there was a test of popularity. His ministry had become successful. In John chapter 6, it fed 5,000 people. They said, this is the king we need in Nigeria. Food will become abundant. So you know what he did? The Bible says he withdrew to a mountain by himself, seeing that they were coming to make him king by force. That was a temptation, brethren. I'll just run through them. Maybe next time we can look at them again, how it applies to us, or how they apply to us. There was a time that his own brethren rejected him. That was a temptation. In Mark chapter 6, he went to his hometown. You know, thank God for these days. I can go to my home, not my hometown, but my home. Everybody in the house calls me pastor. That's a blessing. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Yes. Even my mother calls me pastor. When your mother calls you pastor, you are called of God. And your ministry is doing well. But in the case of Jesus Christ, all right, look at what happened to him. He goes to his hometown. They say, is this not the son of Joseph? Now, carpenter, now, my bed. In fact, he's still owing me to balance the leg. I told him that leg needed to be changed. My brethren, they rejected him. There was a temptation to be bitter. Many of us don't realize it was a temptation. But instead of being bitter, you know what the Bible says? He went around their villages teaching. He told them, and that's one thing understanding does for you. Understanding is a defense. Understanding is a defense against bitterness. He said the prophet is not without honor, but when he gets to his own hometown. So leave it. I'm used to it. It's scripture. Instead of being bitter, he said it's ignorance is their problem. It's ignorance. The Bible says he went around their villages teaching. And that temptation that he went through, family pressure. Is this what you are going to do with your life? Your mates are married and having children. You are in this village, you say you are preaching the gospel. They told somebody this. And they got the person killed. The person obeyed them, and God decided that this life is useless. Go to the city, marry, make money. She obeyed them, and the church of God closed. And God said, this is an unprofitable servant. They did try that with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go and read Mark chapter 3. Everybody said He had gone crazy. So the family said, let's go and grab him and treat him at home. They said, he won't listen. He will listen to his mother. There's nothing his mother tells him to do, he doesn't do. If you believe that thing, it's a fat lie. It's not scriptural. Jesus is used to refusing to do what his mother says. It's we, more than that. We are looking for which person to help us pray the prayer we can't pray by ourselves. Jesus is close enough to you. Henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. If we knew Christ after the flesh, henceforth we know him thus no longer. He doesn't have a mother. The resurrected Jesus Christ doesn't have. That's a flesh thing. So they told them, say, please, please, call his mother. So they dragged his mother down. Embarrassment. I feel sorry for that woman. Because she knew they had taught her. But I know the way village people can be. Family people, when they finish talking to you, if your head is still correct, you have faith. You have faith. They will persuade you. But then they finish, the woman says, okay, let us go. So they said, go and tell his mother is here. So those ones went and told him that your mother and your brethren, they are here. What no Catholic would like to hear? That's what he told them. He said, who's my mother? He said, this is my mother. He said, whoever can come and sit down and hear the word of God like this. He said, the same is my mother. He said, what about your brothers? He said, see them now. All these men you are seeing, they are my brothers. They are my cousins. Anyone that's not paying attention. The point is this. There was pressure from that family. There was. He had to resist it. You have to resist also. I see, it doesn't get easier. Because of time, let me just rush through it. Then there was a time. Hi. You can imagine I come here for Bible study. And there's nobody. Maybe Elder John and Judah. And Judah, that's because he just said, let me come and help him put on the machine. And Elder John just looked like, say, this man will just kill himself if I don't go. And Junana calls me from outside. John, you did it. Okay, represent the rest of us. Where will they go? Everybody left the church because of one thing he preached. Remaining only 12. And those 12 stayed because they had nowhere to go. John had been beheaded. If John was still alive, some boys will go back to John. They said, to whom shall we go? That was a temptation. If something is not temptation, it was temptation. Everybody left. And listen, if you're a pastor, if everybody leaves you, go and pray. No, it's very important. Check what you've done. Check why. If it is a truth that you preach they don't like, let them go. And I've seen churches go down because there's one man I know, all right? Elder John, that your friend, that man we were talking about the other day. That's what happened to him. His church was booming. There was a time this church growth and preaching faith and this. He said one day he woke up, the Lord said that what he's doing is not good. So he went back to preaching the word of righteousness, the word of holiness, not just materialistic prosperity gospel that had come in. He realized that's what he was doing. He realized that's what he was not doing. Do you know what happened? The church dwindled. I think he went back. The number in the church went down by more than half. It happens till today. Do I need to tell you? The constant opposition by the Pharisees. The Sadducees, the scribe. That was a constant temptation that he had to constantly overcome. He had to constantly overcome that one too. For time's sake, let me rush to the last one. The last of all, one day, they said, the Greeks are looking for you. He knew the hour has come. He said, the hour has come. Except a grain of wheat falls down and dies, it abides alone. Then suddenly he saw a picture of it. He said, Father, will I say, deliver me from this hour? He said, for this cause, I came to this hour. He went into the garden at that point, along the line. He said, Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Many people don't know what happened next. See, He turned to Peter when he came out. He said, if I needed 12 legions, I would have asked the Father. He would have given me. You know what that tells you? The legion was offered to him. Yeah. Whether it's the Father or Satan. The right for deliverance. It's not every time God will snatch something from you. There are times he says, you, use your hand to put it down. He said, no, Father, that's not your will. Leave it. So when he came, that's what Peter said. Hey, if it's deliverance, I can ask the Father for 12 legions. And these guys will go. He said, but that would not be the will of God. Let it be like this. That's what God wants. He went to the cross. What was his defense? He understood purpose. He understood that God had an eternal purpose and he had a critical part to play in it. See, as, no matter how long you have worked with God, let me tell you, the temptation will not stop. You have to be on edge. You have to be careful each time, remembering to resist them daily, which was what happened to Solomon. He forgot. Solomon forgot. After a while, he thought he was so established that God wouldn't count these small things. It is people like you that God counts small things for. After all, when you hear that Solomon went to those idol temples, if you think Solomon went there to worship in his heart, he did not. He only went to worship with his body. All those of you that say, you know, God knows in your heart, righteousness in the heart, God doesn't look on the exterior. Praise God. I mean, show you by faith, amen. All right. This is how you'll go to hellfire. Do you follow my point? This English you are speaking is what will lead you to damnation. You think Solomon went there with his heart bowed down to Molech? No. He just went to please one girl. And you say you love me when you take me from my father's house, so you say you love me. I love you now. Old man. If you're an old man, shame. So, but you know, they love small girl. I don't know. We love these small girls. That's what people will not be. You won't love people who are your age, for goodness sake. That's a good love small girl. Now, before I knew, the girl is okay. The only thing, he said, your birthday, all right, that is your birthday, king in Israel. You are celebrating birthday for a small wife. So what do you want? I want a temple to my God, the one we're worshiping in our village. Solomon built them. Now, so I like to start. The girl said, if you won't come with me, that means I won't take the temple. Ah, Solomon. Now, so these girls take lead this guy out of his destiny. That's how the whole of the kingdom split because of old man loving small children. Where I'm going there? Solomon, He forgot what mattered. That's where I'm going. He thought that these small things don't matter anymore. Because he didn't miss his temple. He was still offering 1,000 burnt offerings. And he thought God was okay with it, which is happening a lot of us Christians these days. Just give to the Lord. The older you get in the faith, the less God is interested in that you're giving to the Lord. He takes it for granted. You are giving to the Lord. Fine. Small things that other people, he could have overlooked in the life of small children. In your life, he won't overlook it. So the longer you walk with God, the stricter he is with you. So Moses will make a small slip. He will lose the entrance into the promised land. That's why the Bible said that he was heard because he feared. And that's ending my message for you today. You have to be. Which word do I use? You have to fear also. You have to fear being rejected. You have to fear sleeping. You have to fear missing the mark. Because I'm telling you, they are still going to come to you. As old as you think you are. And tell you this is not where your mates are supposed to be. Sometimes they come with things that are subtle. How to grow church. So, I'm talking to pastors now. They don't give you ideas. Once a marketer comes to help you grow church, just know Satan sent him. There's no marketing strategy for church growth. Church growth is not a goal. It's not supposed to be. The goal is preach the truth, lead men to Christ, lift Christ up. He will draw all men unto himself. Who doesn't want to draw him? Let's just say like this is his problem. Once he starts giving you strategies, that is when God will now judge you. Small, small boys will do it too. And God will give them time. Say, when that, did you call down to ministry? The angel will say, last year, Lord, he said, let him fumble around for 10 years. Let him be learning foolish things. He will drop them. His name is David. He's a nice guy. He loves me at heart. Leave it. So, but this one will come to ministry 40 years ago. He feels established. He's now listening to, you know, I told you about small, small wives. These wives are not always women. Sometimes, there are people who want to help you bring your ministry up to date, to the latest level. You'll be preaching, they'll be shining red light up and down in the eyes of your congregation. At the end of the day, your people, their spirits are confused. So your ministry now needs to be Y2K compliant. Y2K don't pass now. Y225, whatever, compliant. You'll be preaching, they'll be throwing smoke. What is this smoke about? It says, Daddy, if glory will not come, who will bring it? Your ministry is about to end. Yeah, we're talking about Solomon marries a small wife. That is, you know, I told you before, women in the scripture is not just woman. No. I said it's a worldly system. He said it's a woman whose heart is a snare. The one who is pleasing to God will escape. That woman is not a woman physically. Solomon was saying life has what? Traps. So, old man taking small, small children to help him modernize ministry with material things rather than sticking. Listen, that's what I'm saying. Stick with the preaching of the word. If the congregation is scattered, then scatter. God didn't send you to go and gather a large congregation. He sent to go and teach the word in truth. Well, I've spoken enough. Let's say, Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you.